If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Dissolving the Ego's World Through Divine Absorption. And we're going to be looking at various divine states and samadhis. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and integrate as high and as fully as possible your divine self, the divine presence always has some way of signifying its absorption with you. Take a deep breath and experience that. Feel that? Be very aware when you call yourself, your divine self forward, that you're going to experience something different. Perhaps it's different for each person, I don't know. But for me, I always feel a descent of goosebumps, which are at the same time hot. The body will start to rock back and forth. Sometimes there's shivers. Sometimes it feels like something's being poured over the crown chakra and it's running down the back, down the spine. Sometimes the kundalini will jump. It'll leap and you'll feel a jolt. Sometimes before I used to give a talk, before a conference gathering, when Ashtar would integrate with me, sometimes my body would leap as much as a foot off the chair as that powerful energy would integrate. So just be aware of how you feel when you've evoked and called forward that higher divine being that you truly are. There's going to be some sort of an interface energetically with your physical body. Those of you that are speakers like myself, we are usually very aware that when we step out of the wings onto the stage, if we pause and wait for the spirit to be placed with us, we will feel, well, we'll shift for one thing, from that moment of stage fright into a sense of empowerment that descends over you. And if you wait for that and honor that, you'll notice that an infilling of power and knowledge and energy and light that you knew not of begins to infill you and speak through you. I would suggest that you always wait for that spirit to be placed with you before you speak, before you teach, before you counsel. Always call yourself forward. And I'll tell you another thing. I have never in all the years that I've been a public speaker ever not had the Holy Spirit honor my willingness to step forward and be of service. So it's something that you don't do. It's something that you allow and make yourself available to host. That's so important to remember, of ourselves, of our lower nature, our personal selves. We do nothing, absolutely nothing. Everything is by the power and grace and anointing of the Divine Spirit. And the whole thing that we're doing here, doing our spiritual practices, our spiritual exercises, our mantras, our yogas, all of the things that we're doing are simply for this purpose, that we can serve as an absolutely clear conduit of the divine. That's it. There's no other purpose. For all of the shenanigans we put ourselves through to, quote, develop spiritually. Okay? You're already a perfect and pure soul. It's just the personal levels that need to come into awakened alignment with that. So that's all we're looking at here. So again, take a deep breath. And just bring forward the light of your divine presence and be present here and now with the intention to receive whatever would be for your highest good, spiritually speaking, tonight. Whatever. Let's bring that focus into a very high one, because we're going to be speaking about states of consciousness that you might recognize as I speak about them this evening, as we speak about them this evening, because this instrument is a one and a many. So let me ask you, well, first let's chant a couple. Let's do three hues. This really helps to bring the alignment. Ready? Deep breath. And did you see that purple light when we started chanting the hue? That's an aspect of the Holy Spirit, a function, let's say, of the Holy Spirit that comes through what we call the mystical traveler consciousness. We could call it the Christ action of grace, because it's an action of transcendental love that reaches down through all of our personal inadequacies and lifts us into the heart of God and establishes us there. I call that the mystical traveler, or the spiritual traveler. And that's the energy we're working with all the time, because that's the royal elevator of grace that lifts us beyond all of the pain and suffering of these lower dimensions and brings us into a state of such love that it anesthetizes us from the pain that we would ordinarily experience without that grace. So it's a lifting and uplifting and transcending flow that we open to. And you can ask specifically for the mystical traveler consciousness to work with you, because this instrument that's speaking to you carries that lineage in spirit. And so as you listen, you naturally are going to be attuned to that divine grace, that divine lineage that goes way off this planet, multidimensionally, multi-universally, throughout the cosmos. And it will take you home. So have you experienced in your life where you have a reference point to having become so absorbed in something, whatever it was, so absorbed that you completely lost sight of anything else? No mind, no thoughts, no time, no place, all of it vanished. And you were absorbed. That is God consciousness. That completely dissolves the ego's world and puts you in a very divine state. But it's so interesting because we go in and out of that all the time. If you've done any study of quantum physics, it's said that we're not a static anything. We're popping in and out, in and out, in and out of the invisible into the visible, in and out, in and out. And likewise, we're in and out of that divine state all the time. Atma, ego, atma, ego, atma, ego. Spirit, self, spirit, self, spirit, self. Back and forth. And I'm speaking of the personal self when I say self in this context. But we're in and out all the time. And so we learn to dance. We do the Shiva dance. We dance in life because it's not a fixed state. It's not a static state. It's an alive dancing state. It's not linear. The only thing that gives a sense of linear continuity is the memories of the past, which then we tack on mentally and project into the future. And there begins and ends your sense of time and your sense of limitation, confinement, and separation, all of which define the ego's world. I'll tell you a little story about absorption. There was a simple little village boy that came to his guru, and his guru said, "What do you love more than anything in the world?" And the little boy said, "Well, I love my water buffalo more than anything in the world." And so the guru said, "Good, that's very good. I want you to go and sit in this hut and think only about your water buffalo. Have no other thought. Just think about how much you love your water buffalo." And so the guru went off. The little boy went into the hut. After some time, the guru returned and called to the little boy. The little boy didn't answer. He called again. The little boy didn't answer. Finally, he heard a very feeble little grunt. And then the boy said, "I can't come out. My horns are too big to pass through the entrance." He had become one with his water buffalo. And you see, that's just one of many stories that Sai Baba would tell us to emphasize how we become one with whatever we become totally absorbed with. Sai Baba said that the mind actually has no form, but it takes the form of whatever we're thinking about. and can actually solidify into a form that begins to dominate and occupy the totality of the mind. That's why you see some people, and, you know, the old saying is that when a pickpocket looks at a crowd, he sees pockets to pick. And when a saint looks at the same crowd, he says he sees incarnations of the one beloved. So you can see that the mind can solidify into the form of separation, which we call the ego, or it can assume the form of the one you love the most, which hopefully I'm talking to disciples, to light bearers, to yogis and yoginis who really love God. And how can you love God, which is formless? Well, for most of us, we transfer that love to what's called your divine image, your Ishta Devata, your chosen image that you focus on as your master, your teacher, your guru, your chosen ideal. And for many of us listening, that's Sai Baba, or Jesus, or John Roger, or Krishna, or Rama, or Shiva. You see, the form doesn't matter too much, as long as it calls forward your devotion, your love. And if your aspiration is divine absorption, to dissolve this ego's nightmare that we call a world, to rise above the phenomenal and the impermanent into the state of Satchitananda, then it's wise to choose whatever it is that you focus on with great care. Because to develop steadiness of mind, you need a fixed point. Sai Baba often tells us that the one form that doesn't die and doesn't decrease, no matter how much it's used, is a light, a jyoti, a flame. And so he often suggests that we use a flame as our focus. He said the body of the guru will in time die. All forms that are born also pass from this world and what we call death. Even though there is no death, there is a falling away of the material elements at some point because they are impermanent. So it's good to choose something that doesn't die. But it's not mandatory. Some of us are so in love with our teachers because we're by nature devotional that we have to take a form to represent that divine. So we are, by nature, multidimensional, transdimensional, and adimensional, because eventually you transcend the realms of consciousness, which are conditioned, into that which is beyond consciousness itself, and it's called pure awareness, or being, with a capital B. So we are those radiant extensions of divine life seeking diversified expression. We are the perfect one, playing hide and seek with imperfection, simply to enjoy the play of discovering oneself. So in all of creation, there is nothing to be done. There is nothing to be achieved, get this, but enjoying life. Yes, enjoying life. Are you enjoying life, your life, here and now, this moment? Well, if you are, then you are an awakened one. You are one who has transcended the prison of personhood and has been reborn of spirit into ever-expanding life. You are fully alive to this moment, fully present and aware here and now, which gives rise to the greatest sense of freedom, joy, vitality, and an impersonal, all-encompassing love. You are, in fact, living in the fifth kingdom of souls, which is simply the manifestation of spiritual inner awareness, which then becomes what is called the kingdom of heaven upon earth. You are the kingdom come. You are the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. As you go about fulfilling your daily duties, you are living in heaven now. Where is heaven? Within. It's a state of inner attunement with God. So you are the beloved, living as the light and sound in human form. And that simply expresses this unconditional love. A love that has no boundaries. It's a natural, loving sense of goodwill that characterizes your interaction with all living things. And everything has life. So it's being intensely alive and open, with no withheld love. It's an equal love that goes forward on a very impersonal level. It's not directed to any quality or any particular person. It's the same regardless of what appears before you. And that's a natural state of samadhi or divine absorption. It's very natural. It's very unstrategized. It's very unmanipulated. It has no agenda. It simply appears when you've been reduced, or should I say, elevated to just love, simply love. So all we are doing is identifying and releasing all the hindrances and blocks that we have created against love. And just identifying them and releasing them. So all along, through eons of time, you've been gradually ascending into this natural state of spiritual flow. But you may not have ever really noticed it, since it was so simple. You go in and out and in and out until you just stay in that state and you don't go forth anymore. Literally, you don't reincarnate anymore. Why would you incarnate? That which you have become neither is born nor does it cease to exist. So you've transcended the world, the flesh, and the ego. So your natural state is devoid of drama. That's how you can tell. The ego is a big drama mood maker. Everything the ego does is like bigger than life, the worst of the worst, or the greatest of the great, but it's always drama. And so drama characterizes the lives of those who are still asleep in the ego's nightmare. Those who are tossing and turning in anguish and calling out for help as they battle the shadows of their own imagining. You know, in reality, in highest truth, there is in all of existence only one divine presence, one beloved, one omnipresent love. You are love. You sit in the midst of the heart of God in love. Everything you look at was created of love. There is no other whatsoever. So every notion of otherness evaporates in the light of awakened awareness. And thus, as naturally as every planted seed rises up through the dark soil seeking the light, just as naturally has the seed of divinity risen up through the dark dream of separation into the light of awakened awareness and love. So the more one is filled with this light of awakened awareness, the greater the vitality and the sheer joy of life. That joy finds its greatest fulfillment in self-bestowal. Self-bestowal. It gives its all to all in all ways. There's nothing withheld. It's just a divine flow all the time. And such an awakened one is an open portal into the heart of God, the source of all love, life, and joy. So there's no barriers, no withholds, no boundaries. One is simply love. And that love is perfectly safe. You're absolutely invulnerable when you are in that state. No wild animals will attack you. No serpent will bite you. No person will harm you. Because you have to be in a state of duality in order to invite that opposing energy. But when you're immersed in the beloved, you become invisible to those lower energies. You just don't show up in their reality. So what about Jesus the Christ? Well, he tells you very clearly in the gospel stories, that at any moment he could have called upon legions of angels and his Father would have rescued him. But he willingly allowed himself to undergo the crucifixion, to eat the sins, to take on and dissolve and eat the sins and transgressions, certainly of his disciples, and certainly of the people who were around him in that time. And it says further in the scriptures, he took on and bore the sins of humanity at that time. He was a mystical traveler, a conduit of divine grace. So many of the great masters will do that. They will take on and dissolve through their own light field and their own divine awareness the sins of their disciples, their devotees, their votaries. Many of you are students of John Roger, who was also my mentor. And at one time he shared that he can have as many sometimes as 40 different diseases going on in his body at any moment because he takes them on and dissolves them through his own body, his own light field. So we're not talking about the things that happen to the bodies of great souls like John Roger and Jesus the Christ and Sai Baba, because they have transcended any sense of a personal self that could be hurt. They are pure love, and that's all they are. And pure love is constantly giving of itself unconditionally to everyone all the time. No exceptions, no withholds, constant self-bestowal. So as one awakens and gets in contact with that higher nature, gradually the former drama begins to lessen. There's less and less drama. And the dark notions and imaginings begin to evaporate. That paranoia that so many people live in, that background of unhappiness and that scenario that they keep, the narrative of dark imaginings they keep expressing, gradually silences. And the imaginations and all the dark imagery begins to evaporate. And greater becomes a sense of inner and outer ease and flow, like a great burden is lifted off. And it begins when you give your life over fully to love, or to God, or to trusting life itself. You know, love, God, life, the divine self, they're all one and the same. The beloved, these are just names to call the very same thing. So, devoid of the ego's resistance, one has direct access to unlimited, ever-expanding life and love. And that is why you and I, we're the happiest and most fulfilled when we forget ourselves entirely and become totally absorbed in whatever it is we love most. Now, one who is totally absorbed in God has literally become God. The mind has dissolved, and only the beloved is present. And that is the closest humanity can come to experiencing the invisible divine source. And that's why those men and women who live in the state of divine absorption and oneness become venerated and respected and honored and worshipped. That is why age after age, the one divine source assumes a human form and manifests on earth as an avatar. Not just one, there are many avatars. But a full avatar, like Satya Sai Baba, is extremely rare. I think Ananda Moima said something to the effect there will be another 50,000 years before another one, such as Sai Baba, comes to earth. I hope I quoted her correctly. But an avatar is simply an embodiment of the one formless divine that takes the form, Sai Baba said, of our collective devotion. So we actually create and call forward the form that the avatar assumes. Now, all avatars are one. They're like tributaries of the one holy Ganges. So likewise, all souls are seeds of divine perfection. All souls are equally pure, equally whole, and holy. Now, it's only the mindset, the conditioning, that differs from one person to the next due to its experiences, its memories, its karmic tendencies. So only minds are evil, wicked, warped, and insane. Never the soul. That's so important to remember because everyone is equally holy, pure, and divine. You could take the most absolutely despicable personality and put it right next to the Christ, and you couldn't tell the souls apart. They would be identical. So we've been clinging to this little limited ego sense of self as if it were the only thing that existed, dreading its disappearance and death, and fearing every threat to its survival. And yet we've been clutching at imaginary phantoms and dark dreams. Bear in mind, you can only lose what was never real. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. And when you know that, you experience the peace of God. So we fear losing our little petty, isolated personhood, our image, our standing in the world, our material possessions, our loved ones and attachments. And we're like a monarch dreaming of being a pauper. So that is why the spiritual counsel of the wise is to detach ourselves from what we've taken to be real, to be willing to let go and open up to new revelations of what is real. And what is real, you can never lose. You can never, ever fail. You can never have it taken from you, because it is you. It is your true self. And the true state and life that you share forever as one with God. So the heart and mind need to be gradually opened and unified and expanded into the higher awareness. And with the broadening and expanding of one's sense of identity comes a greater sense of freedom and ease. And life is lived from a higher state of vibrancy and happiness. And since happiness is union with God, any brightening and lightening of our way is the right direction. So let's look at some of the ways that we could do that. The most important thing is to spend time in silence every day. Absolute silence. Turn off the phone. Turn off the TV, the radio, the media for some period of time every day and just be silent. Now, another way to do that, if you absolutely can't go there, is to listen to all the outer sounds. One by one, listen to all of the outer sounds, the traffic, the birds, the rustling of the trees, the wind. Remind yourself that all sounds are God. They're all echoes of God, echoes of the voice for God. Listen to the dogs barking, the carpenters working, the sounds of the trucks and the various things, the trains, overheard conversations, the TV, the background. But don't entrain into that. Listen as if you were listening from a distance, very detached. And then you'll find that you begin to transcend the mind. It naturally begins to turn inward. When you start to be silent, the mind by itself retreats, and it starts to turn within. And then you listen for the inner sounds. And then, those of you who are initiates of the sound current have learned to listen to both the inner and the outer sounds at the same time. And you'll notice that each level of consciousness has its own sound. And with really deep listening, you'll be able to hear each sound of each realm at the same time. And that is called surat, or inner listening, in terms of the sound current yoga. And then there's the practice of nirat, or inner seeing, which is practice. And again, remind yourself that everything you see are all images that your mind has projected. So when you practice Nirat, look around. Look around your room, wherever you are, just very impersonally in a very detached way. Look around without according any particular preference or specialness to whatever you see. Just remind yourself, these are all dream images, and none are permanent. These are all images my mind has projected. All I see is the past. All I see is impermanent. And then look within and observe what shows up. Maybe something will appear, and maybe nothing but an inner blankness. But begin to realize that the inner and the outer are the same. They're all mental images the mind has made up. So you learn to listen. You learn to look around. And all of that gradually, use it to draw you into the silence. Now, there is a simple technique I want to teach you now that is so simple, but if you practice it for 3 months, the mind completely quiets down. And it's this. Pick something, anything. It could be a spot on the wall. It could be your thumb, which you have with you all the time. It literally could be anything. But look at it. For 12 seconds. Look at it without any other focus for 12 seconds and try to merge with it and let it go. That's it, just 12 seconds. Now, if you want to take that exercise a little bit deeper, take a picture that has a nice view of the eyes. Could be Jesus, Sai Baba, John Roger, Yogananda, Sri Yukteswar, Amaji, Ananda Mohima. These are all God-realized people. And gaze into their eyes. Dive into those eyes, which are windows into God. And become totally immersed for 12 seconds. That's all. Don't time it, but feel the mind disappear and become silent in full absorption. We can all do that for 12 seconds, no problem. And then come back and continue your day. Put your full attention on whatever it is you're doing. If you're cooking, cook. If you're eating, eat. If you're with somebody, be with them. If you're taking care of your children, your husband, whoever, be there, do that. No multitasking. Train your mind to hold one single focus. That's the only way you can be in God, is to be present here and now. And so practice at least once a day for 3 months this 12-second meditation, 12-second absorption. Or if you find this is easy without strain, then increase the times of day that you do it and the length. Sai Baba said that 24 seconds of absorption and you have reached the yogic state called dharana, which is deep focused concentration. And then he said if you do it 12 times 12, which is 144 seconds or 2.4 minutes, your absorption becomes samadhi. Your absorption becomes samadhi. What is samadhi? It's complete absorption. One of the states that a devotee can enter, that I live in more or less, well, a lot of the time, is bhava samadhi, where you become absolutely absorbed in devotional love. You merge with God through sheer devotion and love. And it's just silent, loving absorption. It comes and goes. You know, it's a state that we can maintain as a silent devotional state. But when you are absolutely aflame with love so intense, and you've absorbed so totally into that divine form that you're weeping, you're shaking, you can't speak, nothing comes out of your mouth, you can't even breathe or think. You're completely absorbed in devotion. That state, of course, if you want to maintain yourself in the world, you have to let it subside. You burn up otherwise, because it is fiery. Then you have sahaja samadhi, which is so natural, you may not be even aware of it. And that's permanent liberation. That's natural inner absorption, where your heart is permanently open and you're permanently God-focused. And you can still operate in the world, but it's permanent, which really expresses as ongoing divine unconditional love for all. Then there are different yogic states that people in advanced practice will go into. And one of them is Savikalpa Samadhi. Samadhi means equal-mindedness. And when it's Savikalpa, it means there's still a sense of separation. There's still a sense of you and God. But your breath becomes so still that you're barely breathing, and at some point, sometimes it stops. John Roger would go into that state so often, and sometimes he would breathe only every 15 minutes, and the staff would get very worried because they didn't know whether he was alive or dead, because he wasn't breathing. We witnessed that on the trip to India, where he would go back and lie in the back row of seats where he could, you know, recline fully. His face would become gray. He wasn't breathing. We were freaked out. But then after, you know, 15 minutes or so, he would breathe, and we realized he was still alive. So it's very interesting to be with someone that goes into these states because they look like they're dead. They don't have the normal behavior at all. And then the deepest state is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. This is where there's no other sense at all of a self, of an observer, of a witness. All of that dissolves. There's no longer object and observer present. There is just complete, full, total, divine absorption. And there's no breath. Now, the body falls away after 21 days like a dried-up leaf, according to Sai Baba. So generally, a yogi will go in and out of that state. But everything dissolves. The world, the mind, the sense of the individual self, everything vanishes, and you're in the state of pure being, or Sat Chit Ananda, being, awareness, bliss. And that's a permanent state. So though the body will fall off after 21 days, many times the yogi allows that to happen and goes on into the formless state. I have heard, and I don't know what state they're in, but there are beings that are thousands and thousands of years old that are in suspended animation that have not dropped their bodies. One of them was a man, a yogi, that was buried under the earth when Sai Baba took a group of his college boys out to an area, a secluded area, told them to dig by this tree, and pretty soon carefully dig, because soon they saw a topknot of a yogi that was in suspended animation in that state. Sometimes that's called suspended animation or sacred repose. Some of us have bodies in sacred repose in different places in the Brotherhood, in Shambhala. Some of them may be coated with gold. They could be aboard ship, such as mine, which is in suspended animation. It's one of those mysteries. But there may be some of you listening that actually have more than one body on the planet, and some of those bodies may be in suspended animation, in the Brotherhood, in the vast subterranean areas of Shambhala. So anything and everything is possible. Just never doubt the holiness, which is your true state. And observe. Just observe what happens to you when you go into these divine states. Observe. And allow total absorption to occur periodically with your beloved. Just bathe yourself in that love. There's also a yogic state called Nidhyasana, in which the body appears asleep, but the awareness is maintained. That's most of the time how I sleep. Not always. Sometimes I go into deep, deep sleep and everything vanishes, which is so wonderful. But Nidhyasana also happens to those of us that practice the sound current, where you're doing your spiritual exercises and you're not really asleep, but it may look like your body is asleep, but you're intensely aware at another level. And that could be called a yogic state of Nidhyasana. Also, if you've wondered how these people can go into the yogic retreats, those Buddhist retreats where they meditate for 12 hours a day in three-hour cycles throughout the day and the night, they literally do not sleep. They sit cross-legged in a little box, like a sandbox. And they may be in that retreat for 3 years. So that's a yogic state that they go into called Nidhyasana, in which the body appears asleep, but the awareness is maintained. So it's a state in between sleeping and maintaining conscious awareness. And it's very pleasant and can be maintained throughout the night, as well as in deep meditation for prolonged hours or days. So who we are, as pure divine awareness, never sleeps. Who we truly are passes from periodic unconsciousness, as in sleep, to ongoing awareness. We asked Sai Baba if he slept. And he said, if I sleep, all of creation will sleep. So he says, no, I don't sleep. I turn off the light so people won't gather under my window. And I lay in bed, and I look at all my past lives, and I laugh and laugh. So he's enjoying looking at the plays of consciousness, because everything, Sai Baba said, is cyclic. It never ceases to exist. Like all of the dramas of the divine avatars of Sai Baba and Rama and Krishna, and all of the divine plays are ongoing in cycles. As are your many incarnations. They are all ongoing. They're all happening at the same time. All of your lifetimes, on all timelines, and all possible parallel choices and realities that you could have exercised have already been done. And you can revisit them. You can revisit. Nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. And so, when you're at that stage that Sai Baba has attained, everything is opened. He's all-knowing, forward and backward and beyond time. And he's omnipresent. He experiences himself living in every heart, in every person as their personal expression, as their soul, as their higher self, playing all the roles. And what's true of Sai Baba is true of you. The only difference is that he's awakened his awareness to that level, And you and I are in that process. But we all come to the same one divine union. So, Sai Baba's definition of samadhi is sama equal the mindedness. It's when you see the good, the holy, and the divine in all people and things. And that's all you see. You're absorbed in the beloved. Absorbed in that which you love with all your being. But you want to know something very strange. The one you really love is yourself, with a capital S. But even when you're in the ego, you love that self more than anything, right? So ultimately, when you awaken to the greater self, you find that it was the one self all along. So all of this has been a journey, an inner journey, from the little sense of self to the universal self that is omnipresent and omni-loving and forever alive, vital, dancing in and out of manifestation, in and out, dancing, doing the divine dance. So get yourself a picture or something of dancing Shiva and remind yourself that you are the divine dancer giving birth to worlds and dissolving worlds, birthing worlds and dissolving worlds. And play, dance, have a merry heart, a beloved, nothing that you fear or dread is anything other than a dark dream from which you are awakening. So I hope this has been helpful. I love to talk about these things because they're things that I am experiencing and dancing with all the time. I have that wonderful cycle and season in my life when I can devote myself fully to this and I don't have to do anything else. But we have to honor the season and the cycle that we're in our life. And I think you'll agree, we can all find at least 12 seconds a day to be completely absorbed in something, anything. But you might want to just combine it with your devotion, because it's so easy to be absorbed in something you love with all your heart. So, let's take another deep breath and go out chanting three Anahi Hues. Deep breath. Anahi Hues. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.